And Divrei Chacham Menachas on page 146, Seif Dalet, or is Dalet on the bottom. This maimer is about the Mahapecha that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Tamanei Baal Shem Tov made, and how to look at other people and how to look at oneself, even though there was always a din of being down the Kavshuz, but to make a complete Torah, Gabi, this Inyan, as far as how everything is to be seen from that perspective of Elokus, that's a chiddush in Derech HaAvoy, that's a chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov and Talmidei Baal Shem. So on page 146, Hayu Tzadikim Oymim, Hayu Tzadikim Oymim, Shazayis Tiyah HaSichar Rishonish HaMashiach Tzakenum Kol Nefesh MiYisrael. He doesn't bring him a car for this, but I with the page you have in front of you, I'll show you. We'll do it together. I mentioned it recently in Shul. There were tzaddikim who said that the first conversation that Mashiach will have with each Jew, to explain to that person, to show that person how great, how beautiful that person is in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umar Rabu Ma'alaseha, and the great Ma'alas, the Mashiach will explain to each person his Ma'alas. I've mentioned many times over the years that the Sfasemis, they say from the Sfasemis that he says that Mashiach will come, so he's going to give each person a Megillah. It's not only Esther that has a Megillah, it's everybody has a Megillah. And in the Megillah it's going to say all of the things that you never realize, all of the remarkable ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megalgil, the Galgalim of your life, exactly in the way that it had to be. And it's going to speak about the Milus of the person, of what you did, and the Milus of your, the Madregas of your Neshama. All of these things are going to be part of the Vayhi B'mei that each person is going to receive. And the great worth, the great value of each of us. And in that way, Mashiach is going to cause that nakuda of or that's in each and every one of us to shine, to come out. It's okay if people want to start earlier to work on that with other people. They don't have to wait till Mashiach comes. It's a good thing to get started on. But we don't always see, we don't see the absolute tayv in the other person. Ashtaya shall have us oil me'aleha. And Mashiach will be megala, that nakuda of or in each person. And once the person sees this is true about me, this is really I have this maila, this is really who I am. Because I mentioned many times that the Chedushim said that the Nekudas Ha'or, the Nekudas Ha'chein, a person doesn't see that in himself. He might see other milas. In other words, if you ask a person, like, what is it about yourself that you think is good? What do you think is special about yourself? So Chedushim said he'll always say things that's not, but it's not, the things that he says that could be that they're true, that there are other good things about him, but the Ikka Nekuda of Or in the person doesn't see. It's an interesting thing. Other people can see, but the person doesn't see himself. So the avoid of Mashiach is going to be megala in each person to show the person that this is who you are. This is the nekuda of or, of light inside of you. And from that, like Rabbi Nachman speaks about in Reish Perbeis and Azamra, from that the person will be able to build himself up completely into a tzaddik, into the person he has to be. It's not that all of a sudden everybody will become a tzaddik when Mashiach comes. You think that all of a sudden we're all going to be little Chavetz Chaims, and it's not like that all of a sudden. What's going to happen is that the Nekuda of Or of Tzaddik inside each and every one of us will be Mezgala, and then once that's Mezgala and we see that and we believe it and it's clear to us that that's what it is, so Mimela will be able to work on overcoming anything that is ever in the way will seem silly. Once that Nekuda of Or inside of us is Mezgala, then everything else seems, everything that was ever in the way of that disappears. It seems silly. And that's what he explains. Nekudas geula tzfuna b'chalev Yisrael. In each and every person, there's a nekuda of his or her redemption. Nekudas geula tzfuna b'chalev Yisrael. Nekudas or. U'mashiach hu she'ira v'ya'ira. A Mashiach is the one who's going to awaken that and cause that to shine. Ad she'ira Yehudis atzmai. Until each and every Jew will see himself, roy u'muchla kalbus pnei mal Hashem, as worthy of being able to be mekabel pnei mal Hashem, to be able to finally stand up and to look at Hashem in the eyes, not to hide anymore. Because we don't see that nekuda of or inside of us, therefore we see all of the things that are not good, and the things that we think are good are not our strongest points. So we're afraid to face HaKadosh Baruch. See, it does bring them across. So this is what you have on the page in front of you is from the Sefer Shulei Schein from Rabbi Gedalia Linitzer, one of the early Talmid Baal Shem. This is one of the basic Svarim Chassidus, Shulei Schein. So this is found at the very end, by the Lakutim at the end of the Sefer. He brings the Pasuk where you see it says, Betrayasa Saif Malachi. Betrayasa Saif Malachi. So the Nevuah we're familiar with is the closing words of the last Navi that was sent to us. Closing words of Malachi and Navi. It's not the end of the Sefer, but it's the Nevuah that Malachi, the last Navi, left with us to help us through all the years of Galus. Hina anochi shalach lachem al yonavi lifnei bayam Hashem hagod v'hanayu. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to send us Eliyahu HaNavi lifnei bayam Hashem, before the great day of Hashem hagod v'hanayu, the great and awesome day of Hashem, not the way that they use awesome now. Ham is God of the Noir. So Rabbi Gedalia Linitzer says, Nira al pi masha kibalti mirabaisai. This is a makar. There are others, but this is a very early and important makar in the Sefer Chassidus for this yesod of what is the ikar inyan of Mashiach Sekeinu. Near al pi mashi kibalti mirabayisai, shebechinas Mashiach yiyya, shebecholta lilmoit schus al kol Yisrael. So Gedalia says that he was makabel from his rebbein, that the inyan of Mashiach is that Mashiach will be the person, not a person who is going to be able to perform miracles and make all kinds of predictions, but Mashiach, the inyan of Mashiach is shebecholta lilmoit schus al kol Yisrael. Mashiach will be able to be melamed schus in every single Jew. He'll be able to uncover the nekuda of or inside each person. By yedei halimut schus, and by Mashiach doing that, by being melamed schus, meaning by finding, detecting, and uncovering and showing to the person the toiv, the essence of who he is, and how all of the ra, all the things that were wrong in his life and that he did that he shouldn't have done, can now be understood in light of who he really is, and can be repaired. So, ayde alimut schus yapil hirurei tshuva bekulam. When Mashiach will speak to each of us, and will be megala that or. So mimela and bimlamis chus on each and every one of us. So mimela will begin to think of tshuva. That's how we're going to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yukulam tzedikim, and that's how we're going to change. The avoid of the Talmid Baal Shem and what they were Isaac in this world was before Mashiach comes. Since the Torah of Baal Shem Tov is Torah of Mashiach, and the And the ikar of that is gili ha-pnimius, to reveal the pnimius. So the Talmid Baal Shem made this into a very, very important part of what they did in this world, was to be megal the pnimius of Jews, to be, show the nekuda of or, and mimela to be melamed schus, to show the person the limud schus, to understand his life, and to bring that person to be able to do tshuva. In other words, there was a dramatic change, as you all know, in the way of trying to be makarev people from before the Baal Shem till after the Baal Shem. What changed? Whereas the Magidim and the Bali Musa, who lived until the time of the Baal Shem, the main thing that they were focusing on was what's wrong with Jews. What's wrong with them? What's the chayva in their lives? What's wrong? What are they doing that's sinful? That was the main type of Musa that was given, that was used before the Baal Shem. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh turned that around, and the Ikar became the Limud Zchus, and to help the person find the Nekuda Sa'or, which now is obvious to the whole world that that's the only way to do things. But it wasn't like that years ago. Not even 200 years ago, not 300 years ago, even, you could say, possibly, even 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't so obvious that this is the way that everybody has to be brought back. The whole world is Isaac in this now. The whole world, sometimes in silly ways and extreme ways, but that's not for now. But this avaida of being melamed zchus and showing the person the nekuda of or, this changed from before the Baal Shem Tov to after the Baal Shem Tov. Again, like with everything else with the Baal Shem Tov, it doesn't mean that we don't see things like this in Chazal, and we don't see things like this in the Zohar Kodesh. Of course we do. But to make it a whole way of life, and the whole Derech HaLimud, and the whole Esek of Tzaddikim, that happened with the Baal Shem Tov. And in this way, everybody is going to be Mahar B'Tshuva, you call him Tzaddikim. That's how we're going to all become Tzaddikim. With a niftach shari oyer b'mamar mzal, and with this we can understand the Gemara. Ein ben David ba elu b'dor shekula chayev ukula zakai. One of the most difficult Chazals when speaking about Mashiach is when Chazal tell us in the Gemara there in Sanhedrin that ben David Mashiach is going to come in a generation that's either entirely guilty or entirely innocent. Ein ben David ba elu b'dor shekula chayev ukula zakai. Either kula chayev or kula zakai. Entirely guilty or entirely innocent. So there are many, many pshatim. You know what that means? Kula chayev or kula zakai. So Rav Gedalia Linitzer explains, sha'al yipalei hadover. Shouldn't be a wonder. Shiyovu Mashiach b'dor shekula chayev. What does it mean, Mashiach? What does it mean for Mashiach to come in a generation, at a time, in a generation shekula chayev? Shekula chayev. What does that mean? Everybody's guilty. It's entirely guilty. Shekula chayev. Shayi pali adav shiyovu Mashiach b'dor shekula chayev shebechinos yiyah lilma yitzchus al kulam. In other words, what he's saying is that right now, we're walking around, we're living in this world, and there's a certain aspect of a person that's kulei chayiv, and you can look at this person, and when you look at him from the outside, you can see that you feel. That he's kula chayv, like you can't see anything good about this person. It's kula chayv. And as we get closer to the Mashiach, so, and people are struggling to hold on to Torah mitzvahs, there's more of a sense of kulachayv. But the very same person who's entirely guilty, it's only on the outside that he's entirely guilty. And it's only in the way that he acts, the way that he conducts himself, that he's entirely guilty. And the reason that he lives that way is because he hasn't been shown the nekud inside of him that's kulei zakeh, that's entirely pure. So for a person to combine within himself these two b'chinas of kulei chayv and kulei zakeh, or the way Rav Kook writes in the Maimer Hador that's printed in the Kriyat Soin, the Maimer Hador, where he comes to an understanding, helps us come to an understanding of what the generation is, of what this strange generation is at the end of time. And he brings from the Tikkunim that the generation is on the outside, completely chayv, completely guilty. And on the inside is completely pure and completely innocent. And he said there was never such a generation. This generation, this time, like the end of time. Kulei chayv and kulei zakeh. Ein ben David bar ela bedor shekulei chayv and kulei zakeh doesn't mean that they're necessarily different generations. Sha'al yipali adavar shiyovah Mashiach bedor shekulei chayv. It's not a wonder if Mashiach will come in a generation that appears to be kulei chayv, completely guilty, whatever that means, in a bad state. Shebechinos yeh lumayt zchus al kulam. Because Mashiach Zakeinu, the inyan of Mashiach Zakeinu, and the main purpose of Mashiach Zakeinu, is to be melamed zchus on each and every Jew. V'yavoh ayidei zeh lebechinos hatshuv yu kulam zakein. So this transformation will take place from kula chayv to kula zakeh in a massive way. Akbali hamachlaikis. So he ends with Gedali and he says there's a little bit of an additional problem when dealing with bali machlaikis, with people who are bali machlaikis. Who's the narga means there's a fault in the system. There's a problem with bali machlekes. Why? The miman of shach im yilmei zchus al echad mimeila zeshe kenegda nisha chayiv v'in behipach nimtze zeh chayiv. What's the meaning of a bali machlekes? The Nid Ba Machlaikis is that he says the Miman of Shach im Yilmaid Schus al Echad. If Mashiach would come and to be Melamed Schus to point out the Toiv, the good in a person, then Mimela Zeshekinegdai Nishachayev means that the person who is opposed to that person is Chayev. Then why were you causing such aggravation for that person if the person is Toiv? That means that you are Ra. People who are Bala Machlaikas cause this entire equation to become more complicated. If in Behipuch Nimtzezechayev. So he says, Lutzarech Kol Zeh, and because of this, Yishlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eliyahu La'olam Yom Echad Lifnei Baye. Hine Anochi Shelech Lachem Es Elyonav Lifnei Baye Yom Hashem. That Hashem is going to send Eliyahu Navi ahead of Mashiach. And the whole purpose of sending Eliyahu Navi, as Chazal tell us in the Mishnah Eidias, the whole point of sending Eliyahu Navi is la'asas shalom ba'olam, is to stop all machlokes, is to make shalom ba'olam. Va'oz yovah Mashiach b'mehir b'yameinu l'lumayt z'chus al kulam. And then Mashiach will be able to come to Yimlam z'chus on everybody. Yekol ha'olam zakai. And no one's going to say the other one is chayav, because the ba'al machlokes can't, the ba'al machlokes, who's in a state of machlokes, so he can't be soivel the other person. And he has to try to slug up the other person. The inyan of Eliyahu Navi is la'asas shalom ba'olam. It's to somehow to make shalom, that everybody likes everybody else. Everybody's at peace with everybody else. Once there'll be shalom ba'olam, once there'll be peace, so then Mashiach will be able to be megala the toiv in each person, and nobody will be chaylik on the toiv of the person. It's a very deep teaching to end here what he's saying. But the ikkar that I wanted to show you in this piece from the Shuas Chaim is that this is what Rav Kluge is talking about. That the conversation that Mashiach will have with each and every one of us is revolving around this point of the Nekudas Ha'or, the Limud Schus, the Toiv, the Kula Zakai inside each and every one of us. That which is kula zakai, which was never ever damaged, which was never hurt, which was never lost through all of the years and things that we did that we shouldn't have done, that kula zakai that's inside will be revealed. And once that's revealed, simimela will be able to do tshuva. That will bring about tremendous hirhurei tshuva and the feeling of empowerment that we can really be good. We have the strength to be good. And with that chizik, we'll be able to be chayzer b'tshuva, and to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to live happily ever after. Back inside, in the Divrei Chacham Menachas, on the bottom of page 146. Ki kol ha'oivah al Yehudi, aliyas v'yiridis, k'ay hafachias, what each and every one of us goes through, Aliyas and Yeridas, all kinds of Aliyas and Yeridas. Hakol machmas hayoysam worker of Menesham of Aguf. The reason that we go through all of these Aliyas and Yeridas is because we're all complicated. We're made of Menesham and Aguf. Mechelek el kamimal, on the one hand, there's a part of us, that part that's kulozaka, is a chelek el kamimal, is a chelek el kamimal, lakuach me'el yoinim, that comes from above. Ashenasa Ma'ura Mushulov Bisiha Fochis and was brought down and placed and woven into the extreme opposite of a chilukal kamimal, besaych bosa verua gashmiyim and hadama, a bosa vedam from the earth. Shiluv Shtehana Foshis, and the Shiluv of these two nefashis, the nefesh elokis and nefesh bahamis ka'achas, yoytzer boi mohuma, creates within us a tremendous bewilderment and confusion. Umlechemes ein manoyach, and creates a melchama without any rest. That doesn't let up. This melchama does not let up. Mizah Makar, page 147, and this is the source. Mizah Makar, l'chol mishbarav v'galav, to all of the mishbarav v'galav, all of the crashes of our lives, all of the nefilas, all of the ups and downs of our lives. Claimer, shekasharayim yiridus nefilas b'ish mi Yisrael, that when you see yiridus nefilas in a Jew, Mavchina b'koyach haneshama, hamefarpeya by mul koyachas aguf. What one should see when you look at all of the yiridus, aliyas, and yiridus in another person, and when you see all of your own aliyas and yiridus, what you should see is the koyach haneshama that is bubbling, hamefarpeya by, that's bubbling inside, that's cooking inside, mul koyachas aguf, and it's fighting against the koyachas aguf. So sometimes the neshama comes out ahead, and sometimes the guf. Umisayreris harachmanis hagadayla hamayreris ahava. And when you see this, and when you look at an Ishmi Yisrael, and you know and you believe that this is what's going on inside of him, that's ma'ira, a tremendous amount of rachmanis on the person. Not sin and not hatred. Not to look down on the person, but rachmanis. And from that rachmanis, the rachmanis, as the Tanya writes in many places, that the rachmanis, which is the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Shepodas Avram, that Yaakov, from the rachmanis of Yaakov, it's ma'ira the ahava of Avram Avinu, of Chesed Avram. That instead of being angry, instead of looking down upon another person, one sees that person, just like yourself, is a combination of neshama and guf. And the struggles of that person are the same that you have within yourself. Could be everybody's a different madrega, but the same milcham is going on inside of you. The neshama trying to contend with the kaychas haguf. Sometimes a person has a neshama that comes into the guf with a greater power, a greater koyach, depending upon where that person's neshama comes from, to contend with the ra of this world. And the person, that person's guf could be a guf that is not as coarse, and is not as contentious as another person's guf. You can see this with children, that you have a child comes from the same parents, and you can have one child that comes, the teva of the child is very, very easy. And the child doesn't have, you see that there are children from the time that they're little, that they have a netiyah towards davening and towards ruchnias and towards mitzvahs and midas taivis. Then you have other children that they come to the world. They come to the world, and from the time that they're little, there are all kinds of problems with midas and just a completely different type of a person than the same parents. Yitzchak and Rivka had two children that were very different. And when a person understands this, then instead of looking down at the person, it's Ma'ir Rachmanis. It's Ma'ir Rachmanis. And from that Rachmanis, it's Ma'ir Ahav. If anybody would look at soldiers that are in the middle of a battle, and the soldier is injured, and he is set back in the war, there wouldn't be a sinner, wouldn't be looking down, it would be a rachmanis. And the rachmanis is ma'ir ahava for the person who's fighting. So then what happens is sometimes a person would think, well, I would respect that person, I might even love him if I thought he was fighting. I don't even see this person as bechal caring. So you figure that maybe I'll leave this person for Mashiach to Mlam Eschus on this person. I can't be Mlam Eschus. But that's a problem within ourselves. And that's why I mentioned to you last week that we see that the tzaddikim have all kinds of amazing ways to Mlam Eschus on other Jews. And we could also do that. So what happens when you see a person that doesn't seem to be trying? To try to understand, where does that come from? Just like a teacher in a class, or you have a kid in a class that has his head down on the table. Or you have somebody that gives you back a paper, and the paper is, there's no answers on the paper. So you say, I can respect the kid that gets a 70, I'll give him on the report card, I'll lift him up, I'll be mechazik him. The kid works hard, he got a 70. He's trying something. But this kid gave me an empty paper. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He didn't even bother to try. So what would a teacher do with a child like that? The kid hands back an empty paper. Or maybe it's like a smiley on it. And that's it. The kid just hands back an empty paper and puts his hand on the table. Doesn't seem to care. And the teacher starts to get upset. The teacher gets upset with such a student. And because of that, of the inyan of the own ego also, of not being matzliach with the student, so you could have that the teacher even could begin chas v'shalom to dislike the kid or to have something against the kid. The kid just gives an empty paper, which is on the desk. You see, not even trying. You're not even trying. You don't even care. Very often, those kids care so much that they're not willing to hand in a paper with a 70. They're not willing to hand in a paper with a 70. For whatever reason, they would only want to hand in a paper that gets 90 or 100. And besides, there could be 1,000 reasons that if the teacher would be able to spend some time, which is very, very hard, and the person has a large class and his own family, her own family, but to get to the bottom of that child and to find out what makes the child tick and to find the nekudas or in the child. Why is it that a kid just puts the head down and hands in an empty paper? And for the teacher to say things like, the kid didn't even try, which you can't argue with that. In mitzvah, the kid didn't try. You gave out the test, the kid gives the test back. The kid could say that about each and every one of us with much more important things in life than some dumb biology test, you understand? We didn't even try. Why isn't the person trying? And to be able to be melamed zchus and to be able to try to understand and to be able to open that person up, that takes a great person. To be able to do that takes a great person, a great teacher. For most teachers, that's not the exciting part, and that's not why they signed up to become teachers, to have to deal with some kid that has his head on the table. The excitement is the kid that's learning, and the kid that's interested, and that's excited, and that makes you feel good, and makes you feel successful. The kid that puts his head down, he just throws the paper, and that's not what you wanted when you became a teacher. And sometimes a parent feels that way also. In the same house, you have a child that tries, and a child that cares, and a child that's sensitive. You could have another child that just puts his head down, throws the paper. And it's very, very easy for a parent to write that child off at a very early time. When one listens to the pnimius, a mischeilel biyehudi to the pnimius, to try to listen to the pnimius of what's going on inside of this person. Shomim dvar machayim. You begin to hear different things. Mikfi hanir b'chutz, from what it seems like on the outside. So you already touched up this kid. The kid's a mechutzav. The kid's a layutzluch. The kid is whatever. Well, you send them right away, you know, you send them right away to out of the class. Well, Chamaisa by Rav HaKadosh Rav Shlomo Mizvil Shusi Galeinu. Shaboy love Yehudi. It happened with Rav Shlomo from Mizvil that a Yid came to him, v'shavach dvarim kashim, began to insult the Rebbe. El boinus v'cherpus, began to scream and say all kinds of disgusting things to the tzaddik. Kli ma'isib is yoinus, to embarrass him, to be mevazel the Rebbe. Hamishamish b'kaidish, the Rebbe Shamis, of course, nechrod l'chvoid rabbi. He was prepared to pounce on the guy because of the coven of the Rebbe. V'nirash l'mcheis b'zazun, he wanted to scream out, how dare you open your mouth, who are you, what are you doing, how can you do this? Acharav HaKadosh Yishkita, but Reb Shlomke told the Shamas to be quiet. And he went over to him, and the Rebbe told him, Sivo Lamaya Chish al Beis Hala, to go quickly to that person's house. This is Yerushalayim. Lahavi L'sham Lechem L'fiyatav, to make sure to bring food for all of the children, for the whole family, to make sure that they all have food to eat. B'kai Amalai. And this is what Reb Shlomke from Israel did with a kid that put his head down. Ata shamata cherpais. The tzaddik says to the shamas, you heard herpes coming out from this person's mouth. But I heard in everything that he was screaming at me and insulting me, I heard only one thing. I heard pain and sorrows. The person is filled with pain. He has all kinds of sorrows. That's why he's acting in such a way. That's what I heard. You heard a mechutzav. You heard an arrogant, angry, nasty person. And the Rebbe says, Vani shamati zakas ke'ev u'mitzuka. Or like another story from Yerushalayim, from those days, with Reb Shmuel Salant, that there was a young man, a father of a whole bunch of kids, that was nifta suddenly in Yerushalayim. And Reb Shmuel Salant went to be Menachem Avil. And he came to the Shiva house. Now you know that the halacha is that you're not supposed to begin to speak until the Avil starts to say something. And then you continue on in conversation. You're not supposed to say anything. Yeshev Daim. You sit silently until the Avil has something to say, starts to talk about. That's a Gemara. In my card, and it's a Din Shel Gemara. And Reb Shmuel Salant came, and he sits down, and all the children are sitting there, and Reb Shmuel begins to talk. Oh, I remember your father this, and he starts talking about the grandfather. Reb Shmuel begins to talk, and then the children start to talk. And they leave, when Reb Shmuel is leaving, after he's Menachem Avil, he leaves the house. And the shamus that was walking with him says, I don't understand. He says to Reb Shmuel Salant, he says, I don't understand. So, how Rebbe you began to talk? It was silent and you're not allowed to talk. It's a base oval. He said to the Rav of Yerushalayim. So Reb Shmuel Salant says, you didn't hear? So he said, hear what? You didn't hear them screaming and crying? And he said, no, I didn't hear anything. Everybody was just quiet. He says, you should have listened better. You should have listened better. They were saying something, but it didn't come out in a way that you could hear. I know the halacha, but I heard what was going on. And I responded to what was going on. That's what it means. Kashema zinim lepnimius amischelu biyudi. When you're a person that's able to hear without the person saying it, because the inyan that's bothering a person, they usually don't talk about. They usually don't tell you, especially kids. Because kids can't figure it out. They just act out. They can't figure it out. With an adult, if you get the guy to pay like $200 an hour, he'll start talking. Usually he'll start talking. Within 10 minutes he'll start to get someplace. So he's making a cheshbon of how much every minute costs. So he starts to talk. And if you're just talking to a kid, he's got nothing to say. Then you take him to a therapist, and the therapist has lollipops and all different things, and is there something that you have on your mind? I don't know how they talk to the kid, but is there something you have on your mind? I'd like that lollipop. That's all I have on my mind. And how do you get a kid to talk? It's a special talent. It's a special karech to do such a thing. An adult, you have adults that they want to talk. You have a lot of times adults that bechlal don't want to talk. If someone's already going for help, so that's a simon. Sometimes you have that the wife drags the husband that says that we need help. He doesn't agree. So that's also not so pushy to get the guy to talk. Sometimes it's the other way. It's usually the first way, but sometimes the other way. To get a person to talk, but to be able to hear when the person's not talking, that's a special talent. To be able to hear when the person's not talking, or to hear when the person's talking and to hear what the person's really saying, like in the case of the Shlomboker from Israel. What the person's really saying is that. What he's really saying, what was that man saying? He was yelling at the Rebbe. But what he really was saying is, I'm embarrassed, I'm humiliated. I'm married for 20 years and I'm not able to provide my family with a decent place to live, with food to eat. I'm humiliated, I'm disgusted with myself. I'm a total yitzluch. My parents told me I'm a yitzluch. My rabbi told me I'm a yitzluch. And that's what Shlomke from Zvil was hearing. It's possible. And this is the way of the tzaddikim. That dafke from something which appears on the surface to be ra, that there should be his oirus of rachman and toiv. But if you don't see it that way, if you don't hear it that way, then you can't be misoira to have rachmanis on that person. Rav Shlomke from Zvil had rachmanis on the person. With the stories we have from Rav Kook, how these people coming to be macharif and to megadif, and how they would talk to him, and these are the people that Rav Kook was making for them. The Shtadlis is saving their families and getting them visas for their relatives and getting them money and taking care of them. And all of the people there of course couldn't believe that he was metabol with these the people that hated him in such a way. So again, he had rachmanis on people. He had rachmanis, and from rachmanis to cross over from Yaakov Avinu to Avram Avinu, from Rachmanis to Ahava, that's not such a hard thing. That's not a hard thing. I was reading a letter one of the Chavah gave me. A letter, it's like 30 pages. It's a long letter. But there's a letter that was written by Rabbi Yol Kahn, who in Chabad is the biggest mashpia in Chabad. He was the Rebbe's, he was the Chayza for the Rebbe. But it's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous personality. Bechal, Rabbi Yol is the... He is the biggest person in Chabad, Rabbi Yol. And see, he wrote a letter, a long letter in response to. It's clear that the person he was writing to was somebody from Williamsburg at that time. This probably goes back to the time there was a huge machlokes there. He was talking about the Indian of Ahavas Yisrael, about the Lubavitch Rebbe's Shita and Ahavas Yisrael. And how that was not the Shita in Satmar. And Rabbi Yol Kahn was writing about, in response to this person, the tainis that this person had against the Mahalach of Lubavitcher Rebbe in Yonim of his Karvas and Ahavas Yisrael. And he begins by making a simple point without going into all the pnimiyas. Then he goes into chassidus and other things, and halacha things. But one thing he wrote that struck me very strongly at the beginning, he said like this. He writes that he says you have this mahalach, you have this mahalach, that a Jew who is a min, who's a whatever is a Rosh, a Tzionist, whatever it is, all the different Lashinas, but a bad guy. And you've come to the conclusion that what? That Aliba de Hilchasa, that Pi Halacha, that the din is Lashanoisa. The din is to push him away and to hate this person, and to push him away. So Bill says, I want to ask you, and he says like this. Aliba de emes. That's the words he used. Aliba de emes. If that was your own son, if it was your own child who's acting that way, and other people were treating him with sinna, by pushing him away and with hatred, if it was your kid, so Gil says, I want you to answer me, Aliba de emes. Would you be happy that another Jew was pushing him away? or would you want that Jew would be makariv him despite any svaros that you have in halacha and chassidus, whatever it is? But I want you to answer me. He says, "Ali b'de'em." If it was your child, what would you want? And then he said, "Now I'm going to tell you." Ali b'de'em, the Lubavitcher Rebbe sees every single Jew in the world as his child. That's the only difference. That's what you're missing. You can ask all kinds of kashas. Why is he reaching out to this one, to that one, when al pi halacha you're not supposed to, or whatever? Let go of this person. This person could be a problem for Klal Yisrael. It could be endanger Klal, whatever, all the different things. So he says, Ali bet emes, if it was your kid, wouldn't you want someone to help him? Wouldn't you want someone to reach out to him and to bring him back? So he says, and that's the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's what he does. Because he looks at every single person in that way, as if it's his own child. And that's and that's the Inyan of Mashiach Tzakeinu. That's the Inyan of Mashiach Tzakeinu. That's why it's chaval that he died. He was hoping he would be Mashiach. He was such an Inyan that was in him, that was burning in him, that there wasn't such a thing as a Jew that he let go of. And that he had a cheshbon. You know all the stories about Lubavitcher Rebbe, about the same stories about how to worry that there was some yid someplace somewhere to go find this guy and to whatever to bring him, to help him. I told you the story last year by Gimel Talmud. I think I said this story 3 years ago, but I'm not going to go the whole story. But there was when he was even before he became Rebbe, when the Friedrich Rebbe was still Rebbe. And there was a yid that he met. This yid had business in New Zealand. He was living in New Zealand, this yid. And he met Lubavitcher Rebbe in an elevator. He didn't know it was Lubavitcher Rebbe, the future Lubavitcher Rebbe. He didn't know that it was at that time he was called the Ramash. He didn't know Rav Mendel Schneerson. He didn't know that was going to be the famous son-in-law. He didn't know. It was a yid. So it was a chassidish yid, not a Lubavitcher, something else. And he was in the elevator, and Lubavitcher says, "What do you? What is it? You know how Jews talk? What is it? Where do you come from? It's a Jew." He says, "I live in New Zealand." New Zealand. He said, "Are there any Jews there?" There's all in the elevator. I mean, probably the elevators were slow over there. He says, "He asks him in New Zealand, are there Jews?" He says, "A couple of you." So Lubavitcher asks him, "Is there a mikveh?" He says, "A mikveh? What kind of mikveh?" So he says, "So why aren't you piled to make a mikveh over there? How come you're not making a mikveh? You said there were Jews there. Why don't you make a mikveh over there?" And that's how the conversation ended. And it says that he got out of the elevator and he went to his daughter lived in Crown Heights, this chassid. In those days in Crown Heights there were a lot of chassidim, Bobov and other in the old days. And I think it was a Bobov, and he went out to see his daughter. And the elevator door was closing, and he asked the daughter, "Who's that yid over there?" Gave me a whole thing about mikveh. She said, "Oh, you don't know that's the Friedrich Rebbe's son-in-law. That's Lubavitcher Rebbe's son-in-law." The end of the story was that it was like 30 years later that he had an Indian this Jew, and he came to Crown Heights and he went to get a dollar from Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "What happened with the mikveh? You ever play with that mikveh?" He asked him, "You play with the mikveh?" So I'm in the elevator once, 30 years before, and says, "I told you, you should look into that. Why didn't you?" The mikveh, of course, the Chabaskis built mikvehs over there. He says, "I told you to build a mikveh. What was the matter with you?" Well, because he's worried that there were 14 Jews someplace, and they're not going to have an opportunity if they want, that they should be mitar themselves, or they should be tar as a mishpacha. Who thinks about these things, Michlal? Who thinks about who? To lose sleep over such a thing? But all the stories about him are on this type of... These are the stories about him. Thousands and thousands of stories like this. Why? Because he was able to hear that the Jews in New Zealand, that they would like to have a mikveh. Even if you'd ask them, they say, "No, I don't even know what a mikveh is." But if you show them what a mikveh is, they like to have a mikveh. And build a mikveh, they like it. Zeh Shomai Rav HaKadosh Rav Aharon Lebelz. We were talking about Rav Aharon Lebelz that in our time, in our generation, I mean, he's nifted already, it's like 55, 56 years, that being of, that he was the biggest Mlamet Zchus. And I mentioned to you, I told you a little bit of a story last time. He said, Sheyesh L'Tarets Yehudi Kvishim Matatzim Rambam Moksha. He says, I see that all the Lamdim, I mentioned this last time, that all the Lamdim are working so hard, to, I mean, there's a Rambam that's hard to understand. Everybody's trying to Mlamet Zchus to show that the Rambam is right. So Rav Aharon Lebelz said, well, you should treat another Jew the same way, not just the Rambam. That if you see something that's a kash on a person, you should try to find the Tarets. Try to get to the Tarets. He says, and you know what happens when you try hard to figure out the Rambam and you don't get it? So then an Eilich person says, I don't understand the Rambam. He wouldn't say the Rambam is wrong. God forbid, he would say, I just can't work it out. I don't get it. But I know the Rambam is right. I know this. I just don't get it. That's awesome. Sadiq and Bali Chacham with Flo, Pichus Nadira. Goinim v'charifim chachamim chukamim. We see the tzaddikim, big geniuses, very sharp people, very smart people, much smarter than us. And we would think, oh, Rav Aharon Lebelz is so naive. He sees this person as being some kind of a tzaddik, like I told you the story last time, that everybody thought that the people in Tel Aviv, the Mechal Shabbos, because they hold like the shita that you can make Havdalah from Plagim and Needles, and you say, oh boy, is he naive. These are geniuses. These were people who were geniuses. They were geniuses at understanding what a Jew really is about. They worked hard. And these were people who could have been spending their time doing other things. But they were working on understanding Jews and on being Melamed Zchus and bringing out and finding the good in another Jew. That's what they were working on. Like in yeshiva, working on a Rambam. That's how they're working. That's to try to get to that. Actually, itim adav v'nira ketemu u'pliya bein ha'sarvim, and they were making such things about other Jews to be Mlamas chus, that to the people that were around them, who were nice people, they thought that this is like a little it's crazy. Like what? It's a pliya bein ha'sarvim. Like strange things to say such alimus chus to say this person that. There's a story that Rav Shlomo Kalibach used to say, Chaskel Kavod Shabbos, I'm sure that you're familiar with Chaskel Kavod Shabbos. Okay, it's a story from I'm not sure if it was Bereshit Betzina, maybe, or Kalashina, I don't remember who it was, but one of the big tzaddikim, there was a yid there, he had a whole, it's a strange guy, but nobody in the town had any shaykhs to this person, he used to make fun of him. Because he was always Kavod Shabbos, and everybody was making fun of him. And when everybody came to be Mekabel Panim of the Tzaddik, so he didn't want to go online. He was embarrassed. He stayed at the end. And the Rebbe called him, and the Rebbe held his hands for a long time. And the Rebbe saw in him that there was something here. And he asked him, what do people call you? And he said, Chaskel. He said, no, they call you something else. They call me Chaskel Kavod Shabbos. Why they call you Chaskel Kavod Shabbos? So that's the story that... Because everything he says, whenever I'm always, he has a beautiful explanation. But okay, everything by him is Kavod Shabbos. But the tzaddik saw that in him, because the tzaddik lives in a place of Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos means to see that nekuda or, and to emphrop, to understand the Jew, to understand the taitcha peyid, who he really is. They would try to find something good to go into and to look. To go digging until they could find something good in the person. There are many, many stories like that. And the Beditcher said to the person, I never mentioned last time, the Beditcher said to the person, that probably the guy smoking on Shabbos in those days, the Beditcher said to him, you know, probably you probably forgot that it's Shabbos today. She says, well, I don't know it's Shabbos. You probably forgot you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos. Well, I don't know. Of course I may not this much. So it's going like, but then she said, look what you have such a person that he can't say a thing that's not true. Such a yid, that he has such a koich of emes. So we look at that and we say, oh, come on. What is that? He has Michal Shabbos, is not even embarrassed in front of the B'ditchev to smoke a cigarette. The B'ditchev said on him, these people, these tzaddikim, they hated falsehood. They only wanted emes. So how do they make up all these stories to be such a to find such a thing of toiv? Because they understood the tzaddikim that the biggest lie is the evil that's on the surface of this person. That's the lie. The ugliness of the person, that's the lie. That's the shaker. That's the lie. That's the goof. It's an afshi so nekudas atoshim and he amis. And the nekudas atoshim, the person, that's the amis. That's the truth. The stuff that everybody else is focusing on, that's the sheker of the person. That's the lie. The truth is that the aura that's inside it, the tzaddik sees. Okay, Mr. McCarthy, Mr. Manning.